let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah, that's a typo. Should be long range planning.
Yeah, okay. And that is
Chris.
Chris, you're up.
All right. Let's discuss number one and the reappropriation of funds to purchase a boom truck.
Yes. So back in 2022, the board approved $200,000 for a boom truck for our natural resources department. That's our big bucket truck that we use all the time. It's from 1998, seeing better days. So we were working with CIT Trucks, a local company here in town, to purchase a new truck. We signed an intent to purchase a new truck back in May 18, 2022 with CIT Trucks. Based on if CIT Trucks was a lot of the truck. So no COVID and supply chain problems, no trucks were being built, and CIT Trucks cannot get a truck. So we've been working on that for the past year and a half, and finally we have a truck. So we've been working with CIT Trucks and Drake and Scruggs here in town. But of course, as with everything, the price has now gone up an additional $14,000 to $15,000, which the big scheme of things is not a horrible thing, but
even if that's the money we have that in interest on.
There you go.
Yeah. So we would like to purchase the truck. We would reappropriate some money from the 2016 bond, which was the contingency for market pricing adjustment and the account for that in our 2016 bond. And that's what this is. This is a market price adjustment for a truck. So we would like to make a motion next week to reappropriate some funds to purchase a boom truck.
And this will lock in the price then?
Yep, this will lock in the price.
Okay. Second item under parks and planning is Kiwanis Park Development. We have two bullet points, park cluster bathroom, and the bid results from the asphalt and field study.
Yep, we have two things for the Kiwanis Park Tile Lot grant. So we have the park shelter bathroom. We'd like to make a motion next week to purchase shelter slash bathroom, multiple joint purchasing contract. If you remember right, we have $200,000 budgets for this project. $200,000 is what we budgeted for, so we have to kind of think about that because with the bathroom and the building, we also have the utilities there, we have the water line there, we have the sewer there, so there's all these things that go along with getting the bathroom built. The bathroom itself is $138,000.
Come on in.
Sorry, I'm
going to gather.
So now, I'm guessing, though, that this will be another bathroom that is not heated, so it will be locked during winter months.
Correct.
Can we design it in such a way that it can be added later, or is that out of the question?
We could design something with that later, but I wouldn't want to do that. We have one bathroom that we keep all year round, that's Washington Park.
Right. And it's just
not today. Well, it's not open.
It was going to be locked.
locked
on the side. Doors are always open. The locks are just locked.
You may want to change your...
I'm sorry.
There.
Yeah. Take dummy lock. Just saying.
Let's break that from the record.
It worked. That's all I'm saying. Oh my gosh, that was really funny.
Well, thank God you laughed at it.
Thank God CJ pointed that out.
I would say that in the last 6 months, probably the only complaint I've ever heard about the park district has been that the bathrooms weren't available.
I agree.
So I'm just
in the winter months, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the challenge there, we actually, Stephen, I think you guys worked together to get the number of bathrooms that we managed. Was there over 100 bathrooms? 115 bathrooms. It's huge. It's enormous. And with Kiwanis Park, just as a reminder, there are no bathrooms in that whole park now.
Right.
That's something that the International Soccer Club has been asking for because they have their
for
season
15
out there
years
for
at least.
A long time. They are really, really excited about this.
Absolutely. It's just more along the lines of if we could spend $5 today to have it prepared that if in the future we wanted to do something, instead of having to pay $150 3 years from now when we decide to do something just to get it ready, I'd rather pay that $5 and be able to someday do something than 4, 5, 6 years from now have to pony up because we didn't do something when we were building it.
So the factors will be there, it'll be do that later on down the road. I mean, just a simple water heater, a simple HVAC unit, but again.
But I think you see where I'm going. I would rather plan ahead than catch up.
Okay.
And then the bid results on the asphalt and field grading.
Yeah, we had a public bid opening yesterday for another portion of the Kiwanis Park Lot. We took three components of the grant, the ADA accessible walkways, the parking lot upgrades, and the soccer grading, and we put them all together in one bid package and bid out in Columbia. We had a total budget of $300,000 for all three pieces of that grant. We got one bid back at $414,000, and we got another bid back at $295,000. So we made our inner bogey there.
There we go.
So we might do next week make a motion to enter into a contract with Firmus Paving for that portion of the Oswald grant at Kiwanis Park.
Beautiful. All right, next point is Aaron's Pavilion Heat Pump Repairs.
Aaron's Pavilion, they've had some unscheduled water furnace heat pump issues. Some parts have gone out. Those are not simple fixes. You look at a lot of issues out there. And the stuff's 15 years old. We have to remember that as well. So a lot of this stuff is not just a simple repair. So staff would like to reappropriate some money out of the 2018 bond fund. If you remember right, you guys approved $40,000 for the Aaron's Pavilion storage shed. With a partnership with the Parks Foundation, we got that project done. Staff did a bunch of stuff, and then the Parks Foundation paid for the actual garage. So that project is done, and there's a balance in there of about $31,000.
How much is the heat pump repair?
$18,750.
Is that the geothermal that's malfunctioning? Is that because the pond is not deep enough?
I cannot answer that intelligently without doing some investigation on that.
I mean, I would be curious if that's an element. I know that originally that pond was supposed to be
deeper.
Much deeper. And for whatever reason, that did not happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if the geothermal problem is connected to the depth of the pond. And if it is, maybe we need to have a larger discussion.
Yeah, I couldn't answer that right off the top of the head right now. But they've had some similar repairs like this that we've had to make, according to our installer. We work with the same company that installed it, so they're very familiar with everything out there. But we've had just some rare tear stuff, but it's not normal rare tear, it's on a bigger scale, right? So.
But that's rather than, I mean, this is fine, we can fix it, but I'd like to have the conversation with them and then maybe with the board about what's going on here and then what should we be looking at long-term fix.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
But the reappropriation, we figured would be the best count to those projects specifically out of here.
No, it makes sense. And, you know. Right.
And then I do have what I would call a fourth item to add under Parks and Planning. Everybody got the email about the Duncan Park Pavilion. I actually drove by it yesterday just to see how bad it is. And it's not the main one, thank goodness. To the west of the parking lot, it's the one to the east of the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, the roof's intact, but it's
a total loss.
A total loss. I mean, it's straight down. And wondering what we're looking at for that. Are we going to replace it? Or are we going to line?
Yeah, we'll turn it into insurance, collect insurance proceeds, and we'll rebuild it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Insurance won't cover what it's going to cost to rebuild it.
No, of course not.
It'll be more expensive than what it is for my parts. We do get that shelter gets rented a little bit more now since we did the playground over there, so we do see more activity. I mean, Derek had talked about that last week, so it'll probably be a rebuild over there because we've used a lot more activity.
Well, what I was going to suggest is, for that exact reason, I had noticed that it had been rented out a lot more because of the playground, because of the attention the park has gotten and the upgrades that have happened to the park, plus we've got the
pickleball over there, amongst other things. I would think, just thinking ahead, that we might want to make it a little nicer for more rentals. We may be able to turn this into an opportunity for us going forward once we know what we're dealing with.
Did it have electricity before?
Yeah.
Water fountain next to it, and...
That might be something people, especially these days, people really appreciate it.
Put one in with that giant ceiling fan that kind of blows down here in the winter, summer months.
What?
As a giant ceiling fan that blows down.
Just to put it out there.
It's expensive, that's what it's going to say.
Proceeds aren't going to cover just rebuilding what we have. And this is an unbudgeted expense.
Right, which is why I'm bringing it up, because I just wanted to know just kind of where we were sitting on it, because this is one of the items that the park has that does bring in revenue. Mm-hmm. So obviously I think that if at all possible, we're going to want to replace
it. You might want to get it as like an alternate, you know, expense. So the board knows, you know, to add electricity, it's this much more, and to add a fan, it's this much more. And so we can at least have that conversation.
I've heard from, I know that that other one gets rented out a lot, the one that's to the east of the parking lot, or west of the parking lot. And that other one was picking up a lot of steam post.
Because it's just...
So I think that's a relative term. Lori, not to put you on the spot, do you know roughly off the top of your head how many rentals we had at that shelter last year?
For which one?
The one that was lost.
The small number two?
Yeah. Are you talking five?
Maybe. It doesn't rent as much as you think. I mean, it does when people have the chance, because it's right by the playground, but it's the cheaper one, so sometimes it's...
But that doesn't mean people aren't using it.
That was my point, that it wasn't as nice as the one to the west, so that if we are rebuilding it, as she said, adding the electric, adding the other amenities, it may increase the amount of rentals at that location. I just didn't want to put up the exact same thing that came down without having a discussion.
Sure.
Right place to have it.
You bet.
CJ, finance?
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the budget. We posted the budget on our website. It's been available for review here. There was also an advertisement ran in the paper yesterday for the hearing to be held on the 19th next week. We're keeping our meeting. So we have met our statutory obligation, which will enable us to present it for a vote. So we're there. We've had a lot of consternation, but we haven't made any changes to it.
Stephen, I would like to see, and I'm sorry, I should have asked for this last week. I would like to see, in the past, and maybe it wasn't last year, but I know that sometime in the past, we've had existing year and the budgeted was budgeted. I really think, and maybe even the year before that, but I don't want to push it, but I find it's very helpful to me in evaluating the budget to look at how staff is changing it. So it gives me a better perspective on... and the same goes, by the way, for the projected revenue for the year. You know, that is also that not only expenses but revenues, what you're projecting, that would be very helpful, because then we get a sense of, you know, what is really happening in real time and why.
Well, I think I was going to add this point, but I don't believe the point, but in the past, we got kind of like a document of
the major changes.
Of major changes, additions, like maybe we want an increase here, X, we because why, what is why, because...
And as you pointed out, if you're increasing something, what's getting dinged? I have not seen that.
I think it was in the memo.
Was it in the memo?
Okay, I have not seen that, but...
The cover memo.
Okay.
That was the
last one for being passed.
I'll review that, but I really would like to have the side by side.
Comparative financial information.
Yeah. Thank you. Succinctly and correctly, Seth. without a doubt, he's the money man. Yes.
If no one has an objection, I would like to have it on next week's agenda. We can always choose not to vote on it.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
But we can't add it to the agenda on the fly. I would just like to make sure that it does make it to next week's agenda.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, it would be staff's recommendation. So just as a reminder, next week at 5:30 p.m., we will have a public hearing on the agenda, and we'll announce to the public that's been on public inspection. Anybody that has any questions or comments about the budget will be given an opportunity to do so. And we'll close the budget here, or that public hearing, and then we would open the regular board meeting. It'd be staff's recommendation that the board, if prepared, consider action on it.
Of course, we would consider it.
Yeah. Otherwise, again, our new board, and we may have some new board members maybe here.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Elect, I should say.
Sure. Whatever you're comfortable with. That's how we roll.
My name is Charlie Hogan, and I guess was the third candidate that got elected to your board, and I'm really excited about it. Lots to learn. I look forward to it. I figured I'd come tonight and sit in.
I'm really glad you did, and welcome, and we're so delighted to have you.
I'm excited. I know there's a lot of things going on with this board, and a lot, so I'm eager to see what it is, but still, do it the right way. So I look forward to seeing where you guys
are. Absolutely. And we'll have you meet with staff, and there's something the IAPD puts on, something called a boot camp, which I would encourage you to go to. For new trustees and
existing trustees. Yeah, we've got an orientation set up already. Yeah.
So, great. Happy you're here, really.
But in an ideal world, the current board could take consideration on that budget.
We can always have a special too.
Great.
Okay, but we'll put it on the agenda. We'll get the additional information from Stephen and see how it all plays out. All right. Is there anything else, Stephen, or does the board have any further questions before we move on? Okay. Thank you. Well, you're next, so finance and administration, sir. Is there anything you want to inform the board about in addition to the budget?
I'll bring it up later.
All right. Just wave your hand like this. Okay. Rec and Marketing, Angie?
Just a couple items for the board outside of your package right now is the 14th and 15th this month of the Junior Blues final two season home games.
How are they doing? I'm sorry that I don't know. I feel I'm a little embarrassed. Wait. Okay.
It's a building year.
Oh, I like that. You sound like my Cubs team. Yeah, it's always a building year.
Yeah, Cubs fans can
yeah.
There's
some natural connection. Simpatico, yeah.
The team is the alumni game as well.
And then on April the 22nd, is birthday as a partner with the city of Springfield at the zoo.
Are they going to plant a tree, or are they going to, in the past, no, that's for Arbor Day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I digress.
That's okay. And then there are a number of golf outings that are approaching. The first one would be April the 22nd. That is night golf, two-person alternate shot at Townfield.
That was really popular last year, by the way. I had people come up to me saying, that was awesome.
Yeah, I was actually at Lincoln Green today, and the parking lot was quite full.
Yeah.
So for the weather walk. Following month, on the May the 6th, we have the Art Pollinator Garden Quarters at Lincoln Park, and then on the Sunday the 13th. Again, our pollinator starts the course as well at Aaron.
Okay. Couple things that I do want to kind of put to the marketing mind that you have. One, several years ago, I suggested to Lynn that we might want to embrace the Pokemon Go, that we have a lot of people that use our parks for the
They did it for a while.
And just kind of want to get it on your radar, because they used to actually, there is a local group, because my son and daughter used to get the pins from them. They used to actually start at Washington Park, and everyone come there, sign in, they get their community day pin that comes from Pokemon, and then they go wherever it is they wanted to go. But at one point in time, they told us that they had been asked not to set up at Washington Park anymore. So they started setting up down at across from the Hatfield House over by 2nd Street. Where the where the Metal Gear statue
is.
That's exactly where they set up, because that was the they were asked not to set up in the park any longer.
I wonder who they spoke to.
I can tell you later.
I know we did have some problems when it was like in the height of Pokemon Go craze.
Yeah.
People were like walking out in front of cars, and, you know, they were just like it was
well, I can tell you that circle, the walking the circle up there where the Carillon and the Botanical Garden and everything else is, that's a common spot. Walking the Western Park itself, walking Lincoln Park, Southland. There's a lot that I will take. I have taken my children to meet other friends to go walk Pokemon at these parks. And it's just, I think it's an opportunity for us to embrace people who are using the parks and
I agree.
Maybe be a little more.
Listen, we do all kinds of things, right, with different and new sports and technology.
For example, this weekend is a community day. If we were to tie in and say, you know, come walk the parks for community day, or, you know, remind people that they're doing Pokemon Go and looking for somewhere where to do it, these parks have walking paths. We know that we have this many, you know, whatever at the parks. We have water, you know, water and bathrooms available at this park, etc. But the other thing which I ran into, which was just sheer happenstance this morning, I was talking with someone who literally lives across 5th Street from where the Fun Shop building is. He has a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and he had no idea what Fun Shop was. And I seem to remember when I took Katie 14 years ago, that there was an open house night where we went in, walked around, got an idea of what Fun Shop was, and it wasn't an isolated thing. It was something that they had usually leading up to the next Fun Shop class, and it was an invitation, and there were signs out so that even if you weren't looking at social media or anything else, that you saw
never happened to us.
And you had an idea of what it was. And I had explained to him, it's, you know,
yeah, we should cooperative do an education, play, maybe an educational social media campaign.
Even just some signs out that the next Fun Shop class is coming, physical sign out at Lincoln Park. He said he's going to check into it. He was very excited, especially
an open house.
But I think that if our numbers are still declining with Fun Shop, I think being a little more aggressive with our marketing is the way to go.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else?
On a positive note, that we went, my daughter and I went, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was it excellent?
Yes, sure was.
Yes, good. Yes. That was a funny joke.
Oh. That was really what it was called.
I was just trying to crack you up.
You gotta start.
You gotta have one.
All right.
No egg joke to chime in there, Charlie?
No.
You worked on it.
Did you just have some heavy jokes on you? Or?
Long-range planning.
a couple highlights here. The Zuby DM grant, we've been out there still working on that building before the concrete floor yesterday.
Timetable?
Chipping away at that. We talked about the Kiwanis Olive Lodge. We also did a lot of work out with new handrails and new wood and painting and attention to detail out there. We'll work on another drainage project at Lincoln Green.
The number one complaint at Lincoln Green is drainage. I know. It's like the cart path.
Yep.
But I'm a patient person on some things.
We both are very patient with that.
Two
more turnover, right? Actually, we're all the water on the district. We talked about that earlier. Bathing was water fountains, pond fountains, concession stands. It's daunting. The amount of services that we provide here, a lot of people don't realize what we do here. So behind the scenes, guys have been working on turning on services every day for about the past 3 weeks. So it's a big chore for us. We have a lot of aging infrastructure, a lot of thin pipes that those put in a long time because those get cracks and breaks. So we've got to fix all that. So we try to get all that up and running for all these baseball guys and April sports and March sports. So we've really been busted trying to get all that done. So we had a really good startup season this year. Everything is up and running, concession stands, market channels, all that stuff. It's all ready to go. So and that gets really busy. And also, if you haven't seen, we ripped out Enos Park playgrounds, and we'll be putting in hopefully the new one here next week.
Where at Enos?
At Enos Park.
We're so excited.
Yeah, good.
With the water fountain, that if you're buying it, you have to replace things. I think we need to look at, as we've discussed before, the pet fountain at the bottom. I think more of those would be appropriate. People that are taking their dogs more and more to the parks with them. The other thing that I think that we need to look at, especially on the indoor facilities, like the water fountain in the botanical garden, for example, I think if we're going to do it, if that needs replaced, we should upgrade and put it to where it's got the bottle filling capability as well. Because more and more people are doing the refillable bottles or cups when they're at the
I like that idea. Good idea. I like that idea. You see them at the airports now.
Yeah.
Which, of course, makes sense because then you don't have to pay $5 for
it. I'm just saying that if we have to replace something, we should do it right.
Yep. I agree.
I was just out at Washington Park today cleaning up the pollinator gardens with the pollinators.
Uh-huh.
And you guys do a good job cleaning up the trash that we cleaned out. There was a lot of bags and trash that you were coming along with, and they appreciated that you'd come and take that and
thank you. Oh, I love that. I always appreciate people who stop and try to be that person too, to pick up whatever they see.
We also had Fox News out there today about 10 or 15 employees doing a service day with the pollinator garden, which was really incredible. Old ladies like me are getting too old to do so many hours out there.
Come on.
It was terrific. They did a great job.
I love that.
Probably some pictures because they had the camera view on.
Yeah, they probably put on Facebook.
Hey, yes, listen, if it gets it cleaned up.
Susan must have organized that.
She must have. I don't know who did it.
Bitter, yeah.
She knew that there were a few people coming, but they came out with 10. It was really impressive.
Nice.
They really did a good job.
That's great.
Love that. Chief, you're up next. Are you finished, sir? Chief?
Well, good evening. So here, since last we all met, had a pretty major detail in a real positive way with the AIDS Half Marathon on April 1. A lot of runners this year in that. I'm told over 850. It kind of slumped during COVID and kind of now it seems to be back to its full form herself, plus a little bit. Weather-wise, it was horribly cold morning, and yet there was still just a ton of people. And that runs right through the midst of Washington Park and ends up in Lincoln Park. And we're heavily involved in that. That went off without a hitch, along with our partners at the City Police Department. We have a fair amount of larger-scale proms coming up at Aaron's Pavilion. Glenwood Prom is coming up a week from Saturday. I think they're going to have about 600 kids out there. That's the drumming. They've asked for 4 police officers to be present for that detail. Landfair Prom also coming up out in Aaron's. We're closing out our junior blues season, so I'm happy to report that we had two officers in every game all season long. We had no arrests at all, other than a couple of parking tickets. There was no other enforcement action. People seemed to be behaving pretty well, and I'm very grateful for that. Horseshoe Steve is upcoming. I'll be meeting with Jamie here soon to kind of finalize. He had all but finalized his intent to have three officers present at every game, as opposed to the two that we had present at every game last summer. And two seems to work very well. We had no incidents out there during that time as well. We had a heck of a night, which was referred to a little bit in your monthly report that you have, on March 31st going into April 1, the night that shelter in Duncan was hit down by the pine tree, and a few tree knockovers because of that, but overall we dodged the bullet pretty well. And several of our officers, myself included, were heavily involved with Sherman PD, and the immediate hours following that, we went door to door looking for injured people. At present, we stand as of an hour ago at 2,114 total police incidents for Park Police since January 1 of this year. A little bit of that boost is due to, I think, a little more efficiency on numbers keeping and a little better documentation of keeping track of what we do. Nonetheless, I think we're on track to have our highest call for service here to date. Parks are packed, particularly Washington, especially at noon, and Isles in the evening. The massive infusion of cash into Isles in the last few years is not gone unnoticed by the public. It is packed, literally packed.
Love it.
Every evening. And lastly, I want to touch on, I talked about this once before, it has not yet, thank God, been an issue within the parks, but I feel it creeping into us. The theft of Kia and Hyundai automobiles in Springfield is epidemic. It's been ongoing for months. It continues to be ongoing to the tune of 5, 6, 8, 10 overnight, pretty much every night.
Wow.
Taken. And my reference to feeling it creeping into us is a significant number of those stolen vehicles are being found in the 500 block of Williams, which is right across the street from the far east reach of Washington Park. And that is happening pretty much, I think I could say, every morning in Detroit, but nearly every morning. That's become a favorite overnight jump spot for the stolen Kias and Hyundais. If you happen to own one of those or have a loved one who does, 2021 and earlier, if it starts with the key, not the button, but it starts with the key, it's an easy thing to jimmy that. Use a common USB, put it in there, and you can drive away to your heart's content.
Sell.
If you have one of those, or a loved one who does, please be aware of that.
The it's a good
you'd
answer.
Think they'd be a forced recall or something on that by now.
And that's pretty much what I have. Again, thanks for your support, and I really appreciate what you guys do for us, and I hope to have a busy and safe season. We have a lot of things on the books, and if the first few weeks of warm weather are any indication, we're going to see record park usage based anecdotally, at least on what I'm seeing with my own eyes.
Chief, is there the partnership with the city? Are we going to get that thing that we had at Comer Cox again? I thought that was very helpful. The eye is
absolutely
great. I'm happy to hear that.
We absolutely are. Now, I can't overpromise you, so what I'm going to request is a beautiful one that has decals and is on a trailer. What I'm probably going to get is the one that's shaped like a 55-gallon drum with a couple of strobe lights on it that hard mounts to a pole. Both do the same function.
I was going to say
one is as good as the other, and I'm kind of the opinion, even though one looks a little better, it is a bit of a chore to set up the big 55-gallon drum one. Thusly, once it's set up, it tends to stay set up for the whole season. The one with wheels, we have a hard time keeping dibs on that for extended periods of time. So there is a little bit of a benefit to having that drum mounted one that goes on the pole.
Okay.
So that's
for I appreciate the request, because I think we had a particularly good summer at Comer Cox, in part because, you know, that was there.
People are very responsive to that thing.
Yeah.
It's high visibility, and people are very responsive to it.
Yep.
So, there is no shortage of them. There is no shortage of them. We're cash for resources, and we have worked quite a few details out of MacArthur. We're commonly getting vehicles without any trouble and without any type of stealth in the low to mid-50s on a very regular basis. Our high speed for last year was Officer Crawley with a 94-mile-an-hour speed on a Tuesday night in February. Our high speed so far for this year, unfortunately, was me. I didn't have the chance to catch him. I drive a four-wheel drive truck, 93 at 8:17 in the morning, about three Wednesdays ago.
That was probably the largest complaint I heard of.
Yep.
Recently
going, I just got one a couple of days ago.
With, particularly around Washington Park. Mm-hmm.
What we are doing is working real closely with the city and with Sergeant Jeff Royer, the current supervisor of the traffic unit, and he's been golden to me, we go way back, with a standing request that, hey, Jeff, if you don't have a neighborhood request for the sign or the speed board, can you please bring whichever one is not currently out in the neighborhood on an emergency request, can that thing just be set up at or near the crosswalk in Washington Park? And if you look back, going back about 6 or 8 weeks, I don't think we've had more than 1 or 2 days without either the radar trailer or I call it the naughty board, because he always puts some snarky message on
right.
It. Either the radar trailer or the naughty board posted. And that does help. It's a piece of the puzzle. I think people do respond pretty well to that. But I will tell you, the minute we're not parked there and the minute the sign's not there, the speeds jut back up.
Yep.
They truly do.
We've worked with the city on that in their current administration, and they have actually designed a scenario in there where traffic will go down to one lane going north and one lane going south, and there'll be an island in the middle. So pedestrians that are walking from east to west will
have
be able
to stop.
Just cross one lane of traffic, get into a safe island that has a curb in it, and then, you know, and then look the other way, and it will slow traffic down there too. So I have no idea with the changeover administration and timing and funding where that's at, but we'll continue.
That's
to
a good idea.
Try to encourage you.
Look
yeah.
at those plans, and when they do come to fruition, you know, we're going to harken back on these conversations like, oh, remember when that road was a raceway, because it's a very sound
right.
safety engineering plan that's going to really force people.
Yep.
And the public will so appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a narrow raceway out there,
yep.
and there's no way to describe that.
Yep.
Well, and one of the big things when I was on the city council that we talked about, we were looking at that, you know, things have been suggested such as flashing yellows or a crosswalk with a pop-up stop sign that would, or even a traffic light. And the biggest concern that the traffic engineers had going back to Tyrese on up through Lori on through Nate Bottom was that it would create a false sense of security and it would increase the number of pedestrian accidents.
Yeah.
Because people would ignore it.
When we convinced the city to put the flashing light in there, they put a sign up in the middle of the street to educate drivers.
Yeah,
that they're supposed to. It lasted one day. It was gone the very next day.
Well, anyway, I think keep working with the city because I really think that like you, I get a lot of people who that's a problem, and it is. And you, if you're out there, it's a problem.
I have to throw back a lot of credit to the city and to Jeff Royer in particular. They have been really responsive, and he as an individual with really being quite proud of the science on elsewhere, giving us this on. And I think it does help.
Yeah.
All the
care of. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week. Stephen, did you remember?
I did.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let the board know that we plan on doing updated fund balance analysis for next month's meeting through March, which will be closed by then, and then we'll be bringing those transfers,
right,
which we do once a year usually. Won't be a lot of them, but we'll be having to provide some support to at least a couple of them.
Okay. Appreciate
that
it. All righty. Thank you, guys. Charlie, welcome.